Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. I am here with a very special guest today. It's Aide Palomino, who is the Environmental Justice Campaign Manager at Alianza Coachella Valley. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. We really appreciate the platform.
You're welcome. I'm very excited to have you here because I'm familiar with Alianza. Actually, the organization has a long relationship with the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation.
Yes, it does.
We've done a lot of work together.
Yeah.
And look forward to doing more.
Yeah.
So I want to start out very simply. You have environmental justice as part of your job title.
Mm-hmm.
For the listeners who may not be clear on what that means, would you elaborate on that?
Sure. So for Alianza Coachella Valley and the environmental justice work that we define environmental justice as our communities in the region that we serve having access to clean water, clean air, affordable and resilient or climate resilient housing. That's really important. And then access to green space. As you drive towards the eastern part of the Coachella Valley, it's pretty apparent the lack of infrastructure
Yes.
that people have just to even get to resources. And those resources go from schools, jobs, to commercial districts or areas where they have access to grocery shopping service, basically really basic needs that you need for day-to-day life. And in particular, the Eastern Coachella Valley, and because we are in a really dusty region, clean air or air quality comes up a lot for our communities.
Yes.
So our work is really centered around that. And since we started environmental justice work at Alianza Coachella Valley, our job has really been to look at how infrastructure can help mitigate some of the air quality issue that our region faces and that our disadvantaged communities face.
You said basic needs, and I agree with that. I also mm-hmm. think of it as just human rights.
Exactly.
A lot of things that some people take for granted that many people don't actually have access to.
Exactly. Yeah. And it really just takes for people to go to the unincorporated communities of the Eastern Coachella Valley, such as Mecca, Oasis, North Shore Thermal, even some like really super rural communities like Bombay Beach or Salton City or West Shores to really understand that there are just some basic amenities and that really people, they're really asking for a dignified way of life or quality of life. So our work has also extended into like how does even a more diversified workforce opportunities look like in the region.
Okay. I know that Alianza does a lot in the community. Mm-hmm. So I want to focus a little bit on something very interesting I saw on the website.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of, I want to get this right, the Trails Network plan.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what that is.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. So I want to give a little bit of context setting and history of how we got there. So as I mentioned, our environmental justice work really delves into what does built and in some instances natural infrastructure look like in the Eastern Coachella Valley that can help mitigate some of the environmental impacts that we see from climate change. And then just really what that looks like in our region is just really like heat islands, not having shade equity. When we started looking at that and we had a various wins in our environmental justice work, everything from providing clean water to mobile home parks to paved roads. So really bringing resources and shedding a spotlight where they're really needed and leveraging the data to make decision makers make those changes for those communities.
Which is important.
Is very important. Yes. We're talking about what does it mean for a child to walk in their neighborhood and not having to breathe all that dirt, right? And some of that dirt is contaminated. Like you never know. And that's something that we've helped in monitoring in some instances, but we got involved because the state was in the process of developing a 10-year plan for salt and sea management plan. Governor Brown at the time signed an executive order. He put together a salt and sea task force, and then now we have what is called the salt and sea management program or the plan.
Okay.
Which is really to tackle projects that look at dust suppression, which is really important in the region, and also habitat restoration or creation, whatever way you want to look at it, which is great. And we need that in the region. And we're seeing what decrease in water to the Salton Sea or water reductions to Salton Sea look like for how much the lake is being decreasing and what lake bed exposure is looking like, especially because if people didn't know, the only really water that the Salton Sea is getting is through agricultural runoff. When we looked at all these different plans that were coming from the state, we're like, wait a minute, have you seen the communities? The communities are being largely left out of any of these projects that are happening. So we spent some time advocating, even like through community engagement, what does a transparent community engagement process look like between state and the communities, kind of facilitating and making recommendations. Luckily, like that has come through. But then we're like, they still need basic infrastructure needs that we think could be within your scope of work if you had a more holistic view of what these projects could look like in the region.
I see.
Yeah. So then that happened for a couple of years. This was before I joined Alianza. But then the pandemic hit in 2020. And we decided to take it upon ourselves to do a community visioning exercise with the community, with the residents around the Salton Sea. And we went back to our communities and we asked, what's important to you? We're in the middle of this crisis. You're all experiencing, if everybody else is experiencing the pandemic, you're experiencing even more because a lot of you have lived in the region where there's high respiratory health issues.
Proximity to the sea.
And proximity to the sea. And then on top of that, we have this virus that is respiratory. So people were struggling financially. We provided financial support even for like funeral services, things like that. And people's just in general, like people just struggled a lot like everybody else did during that period of time. And what people came back and they're like, well, we really care about what's happening with the Salton Sea in relation or in regard to the community. And we really care about what's going to happen with the economy. Because if it's going to be really hard for the economy just in general bounce back, it's going to take longer for us to bounce back. So we took that information to some really amazing partners at the University of Southern California, Dr. Manuel Pastor, and then University of California, Santa Cruz, Dr. Chris Benner, who work on solidarity economics. And what is that?
Two very intelligent people.
Yeah, very intelligent and very respected. And we just really admire what their research sheds a light on as far as what would solidarity economics look like if it was manifested in infrastructure projects that could really help the community, could really help connect the community, not just physically, but then also like emotionally, socially, to increase quality of life. And then we worked with two architects, Jillian Schaefer and then Paul Rupert. And we came up with this really cool concept of we really need to start advocating for a multi-benefit trail in the region. Because for us, when we're like, oh, like multi-benefit, like why would people want to be outside near the sea where there's bad air quality? We're like, for us, it's more than just recreation. It is about increasing mobility for our community. How are people going to get from point A to B when there really aren't many paved or infrastructure or route options for our community? People don't have even valid or reasonable public transportation options to those kind of more rural communities and incorporated communities in the Salton Sea. So for us, it was really, how can we increase mobility and also leveraging the fact that there is what we call the CV Link, which is a project of a paved path for non-electric or non-motorized vehicles. So small vehicles, we're talking about golf carts, electric scooters, electric bikes, people running, walking.
And this is a path that would extend across the valley.
Yes.
So I was going to ask, did this all happen at the same time? Or was Alianza talking about this trail before a CV Link came about? Or
no, it came after.
It came after.
It came knowing bits and pieces how it was going to develop over time, what type of funding the Coachella Valley Association of Governments is going to go after, if there was even a possibility of it extending to North Shore and then to thermal, or what you would call like Salton Sea, towards that side of the sea, the western side of the sea. But we were leveraging the fact where we're like, it stops right now at Airport Boulevard. Why not extend it?
Right.
At that point, there was a lot of ARPA money. There was infrastructure bill money. I was like, why not partner and look at dollars, and we can help at what we're great at, which is community engagement and bringing in the community narrative. And we can help you with some technical assistance, things that you may need that you may not have the funding for. And we'll go from there. And slowly but surely, we've had these informal partnerships with local entities that would be in charge of implementing this type of project.
So that is going to happen now. So the CV link is going to be extended to include this trail.
They're going after planning dollars, and it's actually on their website now.
Okay.
Which is great that they do have plans now to extend it. We're talking to them about it. They're working with the County of Riverside to see what it would look like, the phasing. So the plans are there. We're just right now, we're trying to figure out, like, what do the funds look like? What do the stages look like? Where do we bring community in so that we know, first and foremost, that trail is for them? Because when we talk about the Salton Sea, it has a really neat history in being like this tourist hotspot or oasis for...
Seen the photos.
Yeah, for people like back in the day. It had neat facts, but it had the speed racing competitions because the salinity is so high in the water that the way that the boats flow, it makes for great boating opportunities. So that was back in the 50s and 60s. But we're like, well, it really only caters to one demographic of people. It's not catering to the folks who came on the Bracero program, the farm laborers who do so much for us, and they just deserve so much, not because they provide so much for our economy, not just locally and regionally and nationwide, but because they're people.
Yes.
So that's what we're working at right now with, like, the multi-benefit. And it's been really neat to see. We've done various events where, what would it look like to reimagine what a pathway or a trail network would look like at the Salton Sea region that primarily works for the community, but yeah, like, why not incorporate some educational and cultural elements for tourists and people who aren't from the region and would like to visit the Salton Sea?
Let me ask you this, because you did mention the question some people may have about being outside when we're talking about air quality and environmental health challenges. So what are the components of the trail that are going to address that? There would be shade structures, obviously. Yeah. What other ways?
Vegetation, like some really practical vegetation, maybe some sort of barrier. We haven't really delved into that too much yet because we're in the planning, like, what does funding look like? Who's going to do it? How are we going to do it? It's just so competitive, and funding is very opportunistic in the work that we do. But it looks like anything like that, really. And also looking at, because we work with really neat architects that are also researchers in their own right, like Jillian Schaefer, she's even looking like at what type of infrastructure can work for, like, dust capture.
Okay.
She's done really incredible work around research facilities that can capture dust so that then researchers can study it and can study what's actually in the dust that is impacting people.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. She's an incredible, her and her colleague, Paul Ruper, incredible architects. They've also helped us, like, what it would look like to have safe access to the water, because even water infrastructure at the Salton Sea is a huge challenge, not just for me. When I talk to the Regional Water Board, to Salton Sea Management Program team, to the Department of Water Resources or the Borough Reclamation, they're like, yeah, we're also trying to figure that out in a safe way, because the hydrology of the lake is so complex in many different areas that they themselves have issue, like, getting in. So then tracking water quality monitoring is an issue. We do that we were doing that on a quarterly basis. We have to stop for a little bit right now because of the summer. It's like, how would that look like? And also, how do we leverage and complement other projects that are planned around the lake? So there's the North Lake Pilot Demonstration or North Lake Pilot Project that the County of Riverside is in charge of implementing. And that is the Salton Sea Authority's project. How do we make sure that it complements that? That's right. That would be right in front of the North Shore Beach and Yacht Club. How do we make sure that it complements plans for any restoration or kind of revamping efforts? The Salton Sea State Recreational Area is planning. How can we possibly connect it to the Bombay Beach Wetlands Project that Audubon and the state are leading south of that? So it's really, how do we start connecting different projects so that they don't seem isolated and people can get to it and enjoy it?
Yes. And I'm also curious about the economic development portion of this.
Yeah.
So what does that look like in relation to creating this trail?
Yeah.
What are the economic opportunities there?
So a lot of people in North Shore and other communities around the Salton Sea are trying to be small business owners, entrepreneurs. They sell food, art out of their home. So it's really about providing the space, public space, convening space where they can do that.
For the people who are already there.
Yeah.
and have these services and these talents and things to offer.
Yeah. And then, and also my executive director, Silvia Paz, always talks about it, but she always envisions like this marketplace, right? Where, because it's an agricultural community and some of our community members even grow their own veg or fruits at home. What does that look like to provide a safe space for people to be able to do that? We also talk about if there is the possibility for somebody to come in and offer like electric scooter or bike rentals around the Salton Sea. That would be really neat. And I think people would enjoy it because I always say, if you're at the Salton Sea, take the time to take a drive from the north to the south or the south to north on the eastern side. And it is at sunset. It's absolutely beautiful.
It really is. You know, I often hear people talk about the Salton Sea in negatives.
Yeah.
And it's definitely challenging and something definitely needs to be done sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still really beautiful to be out there.
And it has a lot of biodiversity. So if you talk to some of the organizations that are on the forefront of that research and surveying, like Audubon, it's such an important migratory path for birds. And then you have the Sani Bona Refuge at the sea. And then soon the state will be opening, well, I don't know what phase, we'll actually find out tonight because they have a community meeting. So what do you call advertising that on here? But they have the Species Conservation Habitat, which is of the biggest project that they're leading right now on the southern end of the sea. And that's supposed to provide thousands of acres of bird habitat. And I believe shallow and deep water habitat for the pupfish, which is really important, and they can be really important food sources for the migratory birds. There's a lot to do, not even mentioning like just being able to go and just experience and be connected to that body of water, kind of get curious and delve into its history. It wasn't always a Salton Sea. It was the ancient Lake Kaweah that was actually even more massive and would shrink and flood.
Really?
Throughout hundreds of years. Yes.
I didn't know that.
So what's really neat is if you drive from the north to south or south to north on the east side, you can actually see the markings on the mountains of when the sea used to be more higher or deeper, whatever you want to call it. And you can see all of that in the mountains in the background, which is really neat.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something you have on your website, people in the community can actually support these efforts.
Mm-hmm.
You have a pledge
mm-hmm.
on the website that mm-hmm. people can actually complete, sign.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So the pledge is a way for our community, and not just our community, we're actually looking at a diverse set of stakeholders. We're looking at other organizations that share the same values and interests as we do, businesses that could see the potential of what a revamped region of the Salton Sea can look like for them, the opportunities that it can bring. So it's really our way to show support behind a trail where you think it's like, why a trail? But once you see like that it's more than just recreation, it's a way for us to then take that pool of support and we can take it to legislature up in Sacramento, especially right now when we have a huge opportunity with the climate bond that was passed in the November elections, which is $10 billion in funding for climate projects and climate resiliency. We can take that money, or we can take that pledge and show different decision makers in Sacramento that this has massive support and that these types of infrastructure can really create real positive change in our communities.
So do you have a goal in terms of the number of pledges or just as many as you can get?
Look, as many as we can get is great, but something that might be really feasible because we're working with our organizing partners, Lides Campesinas and Coachella Valley Parents on the ground on this, is there is about 4,600 single family homes that live within 10 miles of the Salton Sea region. If we can get a representative from each household to sign it, we're almost reaching 400 now. We had just launched it like a month ago officially. I think that might be like a really feasible target. But yeah, the more that we can, and also we want to make sure that not just people within that 10-mile radius, but also people that can see the vision on the western side of the valley that already have the infrastructure here, and you see it in Palm Springs, you already have the CV link built for you.
Right. I think it's really smart to connect to extend CV link because so many people are going to be on that
mm-hmm.
and will go all the way out and possibly see the Eastern Valley for the first time.
Yeah.
And see the Salton Sea for the first time.
Yeah. So we're hoping that people can see, like, they, I mean, folks here, I'm not saying that every single region, Palm Springs, is privileged, but, you know, there are some spots that need help. But as far as when you go to the Eastern Coachella Valley, you do really do see the disparity in infrastructure. And it's not by coincidence, it's by design.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure that those folks can show their solidarity as well by signing the pledge. So we're working on a plan right now with our partners to get more support and be able to show that in a meaningful way, which would be the pledge.
For our listeners who want to sign the pledge, where do they find that?
So you can go on the thrivingsaltandsea.com website. You can click under the Thriving Environment tab and you can scroll down and look all and see all about what the multi-benefit trail network is and what ideally we would want in it. And there's a little link down there that you can sign the pledge in English or in Spanish.
Thank you. One of the things that you mentioned that I know Alianza is very good about, and you mentioned that, is the community involvement, mm-hmm. bringing the community to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some ways that you do that? I'm asking for a friend. No, ma'am. How do you do that?
So actually, for us, it's been consistency and setting the expectations, having follow-up with our community members. So for our campaign specific, we work with a core group of community members. They range from residents who live in Salton City, Theramal, Mecca, North Shore. And we talk about how do we lift your stories? How do we make sure that there's a constant spotlight on the needs that you have as a community, as a person, for your family? And make sure that we uplift them. So whenever we have an opportunity, like we recently got approached by CalMatters to do a story that's really important, that's a publication that legislators also look at, have a community member be at the forefront of that, talk about her experience with respiratory health challenges, the challenges her family faces. And also if they're not comfortable with that, also doing like some capacity building. So what does like communications, like little communications prep look like? So that they're not just thrown out there and almost feeling like they're being tokenized in a way. And then for the events that we did two large events last year where we brought out more than 100 people to like the one of the spots where we were hoping the trail would be located. And they helped us with everything. They're like, what do you want in the event? Do you want what kind of activities? Because we want to make sure that when we're talking about amenities that they're catered to the type of activities the local community wants.
Yes. And I really can't emphasize the importance of that enough, because oftentimes when the government is involved in something, mm-hmm. there are people who are not really familiar with your community making decisions for you.
Yeah.
So it's really important to have the residents there.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're preparing them as well.
Yeah. And we also, my coordinator, Juliana Tabada, has done a really amazing job of, okay, so we have these monthly meetings with our community members and we do check-ins individually with them. What did you like? What didn't you like? How can we improve? How would you like a future meeting to be facilitated? What are some ideas you have? So we have various checkpoints with our community. And then what's really important, or that we've noticed that's really important from our community, is that we have community agreements at the beginning of every meeting, meaning that we respect confidentiality. Sometimes when people tell what their experience has been like living in the Salton Sea region, they get really emotional, or they talk about other challenges that they've had, other obstacles. Our communities are largely immigration communities who are there's a lot of uncertainty, especially right now with the political climate that we have. So we've even had conversations about how can we maybe change the way we do community engagement so that you feel safe.
Creating a safe space,
yeah. And we've had to have those conversations, which I think are really important, because environmental justice is great, but you can't be advocating for your community if you're being put in a dangerous situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in addition to the pledge, are there other ways that residents who are not part of the community, maybe on the Western end, how they can support the efforts that Alianza is working on?
Yeah. The pledge would be one, but we do have a newsletter and you can go on the website and you can sign up for that newsletter and you can see all the amazing work that not just my campaign, but then my colleagues and other campaigns are doing. So we have an Elevating Justice, which is about restorative justice in Eastern Coachella Valley schools and what does implementing that look like. We have civil engagement or service. So that varies depending on the type of opportunity or project that we're working on, the need that the community has. That has involved everything from vaccination education to voting education. And then we have our youth leadership program, where we teach them everything from where do you engage a decision maker? How do you engage them? How, in what ways can you engage them? So that right now they're working on clean water at their schools.
What grades are we talking about?
We're talking high school.
Okay.
But I know that recently they have expanded to the youth that are also moved on to college, but that want to come back and help and be kind of like mentors. They can help and also start movements at the current college campuses that they're at.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So it's really like increasing that pipeline of leadership and mentorship. And it's really neat. Like, I'll give an antidote, which I still find really cool. So we had a high school intern from Coachella Valley High School. I'll keep her name private, but she's a really amazing artist in her own right. And she was very involved in our community science work. So we would throw out really technical terms in our meetings with our scientists, because we work with research partners and scientists from Loma Linda University. That's Dr. Ryan Sinclair, Dr. Mara Freilich from Brown University. We have Dr. Isabel Arsenio Soltero from UCLA. And then we have Quinn Montgomery, who was with University of California in San Diego, and now he's kind of on a consultant basis. And we would have these biweekly meetings where we noticed that community science is something that the youth are really interested in. And because it's science that's applicable right to their region, they've gone out with us to go test water at the sea. And we throw out these technical terms, and one thing that we threw up, and I can never remember the long term, but it's QAP, which is Quality Assurance Project Plan or something. And it's the plan or the protocol that you need. So if you want your water data to be legitimized in the eyes of the government and for agencies to use it, you need to write that plan.
I see.
And she was involved in those meetings, and she would ask questions, and I was really proud of her. I was like, great, no question is a dumb question to ask. Our scientists are here to help you. They want to help you understand the science and kind of like the changing dynamics of the biochemistry in the water. And then she went off to her regular youth programming with Karina, my colleague, who's the manager there. And I was walking by one day by her desk, and she's like, does a QAPP sound familiar to you? And I'm like, yeah, why? And she goes, your youth intern threw that out as something that we might need to do for our local school, like water, clean water campaign, as a way to make sure that it's like legitimate, quote unquote, legitimate in the eyes of the school district to leverage the data so that we can prove that we need clean water. So she was using the terminology that she learned, or the technical.
The intern was doing that.
Yeah. She's like, I think we need a QAPP. So then Karina's like, what is that? And then I had to explain to her what it was. But it was just, that was just like such a moment of pride for me. I was like, you're listening, you're applying it, you're, you know.
That is what you want to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, this young person is incredible in really, really other ways. But I'm like, that was, for me, was like, oh, wow. Okay. Like, they're taking this information, they're applying it in other parts of what they're doing, their extra time.
And I love that you have college students coming back to as mentors. Yeah. That's so important.
Yeah. And, or, you know, youth that's that, because one thing that we've noticed within our work is that, and I count myself as part of it, is that we have a lot of local youth or people who grew up here that they come, they get involved in our organization, our partner's organization, like Líderes Campesinas or the Youth Leadership Institute or the center. They go off to school, which is great, but then they're like, we want to come back and we want to help.
Absolutely.
And we want opportunities where we can help. And for us, what has been really important, and not necessarily it was like a goal within like our community science space that we have within our campaign, was that kind of a byproduct of the work that we've done with community scientists, because we have like a cohort of six scientists that we work with from the community, local residents, is that now these people are going off to getting their PhDs. One of them has their master's. You might know, like you might hear him, Diego Centeno, he's incredible. We have another one, Alejandra Lopez, who's at Brown, doing also her PhD under Mara Freilich. So they're seeing these opportunities where they want to make sure that their research is actionable.
Yes. And I definitely have heard of Diego, so yeah. I'm hopeful that he's going to appear on the podcast well. So I'm excited about that. Is there like one last thing that you want people who may be listening to this to know about the Trails Project or the community that you're working with?
I want people to know that this Trails Network project is really only the beginning. And it's speaking to a louder issue that the Trail Network is the project that we ourselves are focusing on. And we're trying to establish and formalize partnerships with local agencies and entities as a way to leverage in more infrastructure projects in the region, such as making it possible or more competitive to go after affordable housing dollars or money that can go for affordable housing projects in the Eastern Coachella Valley. We know that if there isn't foundational infrastructure like trails or sewage or any or broadband or a stable electric grids, which we also have challenges with in the Salton Sea region, if we have a dust storm and it comes, it will knock out energy for a lot of people. That we know that through a trail, it's only like the foundation for more infrastructure projects to come to the region.
And to reiterate what you have said is that this is more than recreation.
It is.
This is connecting the residents to an improved quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To learn more, please visit the thrivingsaltonsea.org or .com mm-hmm. website. Heidi, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your coming and sharing about this exciting Trails Network project.
Thank you for the opportunity. This is exciting.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.org. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music.